Ladies and gentlemen, what a great memory, huh?
It really was. One of the best ones. I do, very vividly.
So WG would always keep you laughing. But ladies and gentlemen, if you were friends with WG Bunch, you were always friends with WG Bunch, right, guys?
So from the moment you met him.
So right now, we're going to introduce a very special guest who's known. He knew we WG, right?
We WG.
So back in the day. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Trace Ritter to the show once again.
Hey guys, thank you very much for having me in here. You got me?
Yeah, well, we got you, okay. Trace Ritter. Oh, boy, do we have you. Listen, so when I was talking to WG Bunch, one of the first things when we met that kind of brought us together, this is a guy from Houston, and we're trying to find common ground years and years ago, like 15, 20 years ago, and our conversation led us to this dude, right? This guy that we both met, and he told me about the coolest rock star he knew in the whole world, and I told him about this guy that I met when I was 12 years old. He came in, I'm at my friend's house, he comes in to meet my friend's sister, he goes, hey kid, what are you doing there? I'm playing my first guitar I just got for Christmas. And I go, he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm playing guitar. He goes, no, you're not. You gotta tune this thing. You gotta tune it. First, number one step of being a guitarist, little bro. You gotta tune your guitar. He tunes my guitar. He walks off. I'm pretty sure he made out with my friend's sister. He comes back. I'm sorry to your wife.
This is a win for everyone.
So he walks back out of the room. I'm like, who was that guy? I don't hear anything about him for 40 years. I'm talking to WG Bunch, and he drops the name Trace Ritter. I'm like, Trace Ritter? Oh, I remember that guy. He taught me how to do my guitar. And so we start talking, and it leads us on this little journey for this artifact. It's a whole thing. But anyway, this is the kind of guy WG was. When he meets you, he knows you for life.
Absolutely.
And I know that two of our co-hosts and our guests here have known him longer than most people. What was it like knowing the wee WG, guys?
Yes, please share.
Yeah, when do you remember meeting WG?
I met WG in preschool.
Oh my!
Oh my gosh!
So I got held back a year.
Because of WG?
Well, no. But he's a great in front. He was always a great in front of me. But we went to preschool together for a year, and then my birthday was cut off day, so I couldn't go on. But he went on to Meadows. But I don't know. We used to hang out and do all kinds of stuff together. We had, I was expecting to see one of our other friends here, but he's up in Rhode Island or something like that. And we were like all three good buddies. And we would sit around at WG's house and listen to Alfred Hitchcock albums, like stories.
Yeah.
And they had all the Foley work and all of it.
That's so cool.
So cool.
And I would listen to it on my ViewMaster player because I didn't have any other turntable. But WG had the professional turntable and JR, and then we would listen to, I want to say it was Star Wars on album two, or Star Trek.
Star Trek, yeah.
On album. But it was a few different ones like that. It was just, those are some of the memories on that hill on Wilshire Boulevard, because JR Roach lived across the street from WG, and we'd go to speech class together too. I forgot her name right now, it's leaving me, but we'd go to speech class, and I sucked at reading and all that stuff. WG was always good. My mom even said today, she goes, I remember driving you guys around. And WG, as young as he was, could read the billboards. She said he was so smart.
Yes.
And he would just start reading the billboards. She goes, you can read that? And I'd be like, duh.
So you just became a rock star. Right.
Yeah, I didn't have to read.
He's just a fancy book learner.
Just gonna sign his name here and there.
That was kind of funny that she said that today. I just remember driving you all around and going on the.
Don't you love mom's memories? Yeah. Like one of the best.
So one of the cool things about WG, and we all know this, is like I said, when he's your friend forever. So he literally followed every step of everything you did your entire life, just like everybody else. Like he could always, you could call WG and be like, hey, what's this friend doing? What's that friend doing?
And
he knew all the goings on, especially about you, Trace. I swear. Again, when I told him that story, we bonded, and that's happened a few times with you and WG, with people all around the world. Just say the name and they're like, WG. Oh, I knew a guy named WG, but again and again, this has popped up, and you made such an impact. But it was also, I think, because you showed him a whole different world. Like, dude, we all know WG wanted to be Paul Stanley, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he was living a little bit vicariously through you. So I know for a fact that he took you to your, you went to your first KISS concerts together, correct?
Yeah, with my mom.
Tell me this. Tell me all about this. Listen, we can't deny the fact this was a part of the man's life. So tell me this story. Ever.
With going to the KISS concert?
Yeah, with your mom. How cool is that?
Well, the deal was with, I went with Travis Sharkey and my mom, and I think maybe his mom. It was a couple of mothers took us.
What the coolest parents ever.
That's a great band name, by the way. A couple of mothers.
That's
a
great band name.
Not to be used without permission of Ricky Bobby Inc.
Well, so, and she was just talking about that today, too, that she wanted to go super early so we'd have really good seats because it was general admission.
Oh.
And we didn't have really good seats as being super close to the stage. Like, I would rather have later on in concert days when I was older. But you could see the whole stage and everything that happened.
That's
so
cool.
All the kids were down. Yeah, it was WG, Travis Sharkey, and I'm trying to think. There's two other guys, Noah Shea, and I'm trying to think. Anyway, but a lot of the other guys, my friends, like, Dwayne Purdue, he was down in the bottom, and they all came up so they could get a better view. So we're all crunched in this one row together watching the show. But yeah, we saw that. But then years later, I moved to LA, I moved to Montana, and WG was in Houston. I passed through Houston before and called him and said, hey, I'm in town, and he was doing a DJ gig and we couldn't hook up. But, you know, years had passed and we just picked back up where we were. And then he came down to Nashville and we went and saw Kiss in 2019. We took my daughter and that was killer.
Right there. Yeah.
Listen, so that was the thing that came up with the memorial tonight. And, you know, he made such an impact on all of our lives, but there's not a single kid, like everybody that has children, if your kids ever met WG, he made an impact on them. He made a point to make an impact. Yeah. And I know that he did that with your daughter. Tell a little bit about that story when he took, how special did he make it for your daughter?
Oh, crazy special. And just because he's so focused in on her, like, hey, how you feeling? What do you think about this? You want to do that? And we got to the t-shirt booth. And I was like, all right, we'll get one $50. Okay, well, I guess we'll get one. I couldn't believe it was $50 for a concert
for a
shirt.
You're rock stars.
Right.
What the heck is that all about? It's like you can get a half a shirt.
That's how you guys make all the big money, right?
But WG was in there helping pick out the one that she should get. And, you know, what she like. And so I let him be with her and all that kind of stuff.
And she still remembers that this. Look, I was talking to her earlier tonight. Right. And that's what she remembers about WG. How do you forget such showmanship? Like, that was the thing he wanted everybody to see. Just the same with Star Wars. Like, what a magnificent movie. With Kiss, it was the showmanship. And to take you, like, who we know, that was, you're his right guy. Like, you're his guitar guy. He loved, so to invite you and your daughter to this show was a big thing for him. And he made it an experience, I'm sure.
Well, I think it was before that, might have been right after that, that we came to Huntington and went to the Kiss Museum. And, you know, I just know
by the way, is his basement. Oh. It's just anonymous.
Have you guys not talked about
that
today?
We've talked about it, but we've not straight up said it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just reminding people that there's not like an official Kiss Museum around here, that we are talking about WG's basement.
Yeah,
and that's just what everybody calls it. I mean, that's just what it is.
Over 700 items.
This is impressive.
That's true. I mean, you could tell that when you were in there because you just couldn't stop looking at stuff. It's like a museum. It's just one thing to the next. But when I took her down there, I remember in my head, I'm just going to be the wall. Let WG be it. Because he just takes over. And it's not a bad takeover. He was never like, let me show you. It's his personality.
He's proud.
It's like
he's
being
proud
on
to show you.
Saturday Night Live. I mean, he's just a character, but he keeps you interested.
He that was a great analogy. He is the Matt Foley of our lives, right?
Yeah.
My name is WG Bunch, and I love Kiss and Star Wars, right? Did he not? And he proclaimed it and showed us all and our children, right?
Yeah.
But again, we saw you at the Memorial Day, and we were literally talking about the difference he made in children's lives. And
then up walked you and your daughter.
And so listen, from Dubba the Elf to for 10 years, he gave, again,
I won't say the number, but he gave so many costumes to kids in need.
Yes.
Every single year with Night of the Giving Dead, he would donate his kiss.
Can we back with Night of what?
Night of the Giving Dead. So it's a nonprofit. So it's a thing we came up with about 10 years ago, and we give kids in Huntington costumes because, you know, as a kid, that's the first time you realize you don't have any money, right? Yeah. It's October, you're in kindergarten, you're like, hey, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
So we came up with this idea, and WG was an early adopter. Because you think about Thanksgiving, you think about Christmas, but who thinks about Halloween, right? So WG started buying 5, 10, 15 costumes a year to give to Huntington kids. And he did it for 10 years solid.
What's cool is that you wouldn't know that unless we shared it with you.
Yeah.
He didn't tell people, and I can speak on this just by helping you last year. When you go into these schools, the teachers have kind of let you know and identified these kids that don't have the means to get a costume and stuff. So the way Joe sets it up, his nonprofit, they get to come in and shop. They don't just get what we're giving them. You know, they get to come in and pick out what they truly want to be.
And WG made a big deal of this, right? So you get to come shop. He wanted to make sure every year he had the best costume that would go first every year. One year was a BB-8 like blow up costume. It was always $100 costume that a kid, because he didn't want a kid to say, oh, I just got a costume. He wanted a kid to say, look at my costume. Yeah. That's right. WG Bunch, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, again, Trace, we know the respect he had for you. Thank you for coming in and checking in, because like so many stories, so many people, just so many facets of his life. We can't touch it all, right?
Yeah.
There's just so much. He loved music so much and shared it with so much of us. If you had to describe WG, and we've been saying the 3 to 5 words, but just listen, you've known him, you guys, the two of you, I've known him since, like I said, WG. How would you explain his spirit?
I like that, his spirit.
Just joyful. I mean, that's really about it. I'm just like when he drove to Nashville for the time, he gets out of his car and he starts acting like he's like, where am I? Have anybody seen Trace? And Willow's out there, my daughter, just like, what's he doing? Like, the show is on. As soon as he got out of the car.
Immediately.
I'm like, boy, what's this going to be? I can't catch. I got to catch up with him.
Any final thoughts you want to share about WG?
I don't know.
Real quick, what was the what episode were you on?
I was showing somebody that app or that
Tri-State Time Machine.
The Time Machine thing. And I was looking through all the shows. I was like, he's done a lot of shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what show I was on.
the really good one. Talked about. really, really good one.
No, I saw one that said Guitar Hero. I was like, that wouldn't be me. Right. So,
kind of were, man. You kind of were as Guitar Hero, brother.
No, I think it was called something else, though. But I can't remember.
The wife and kid were on there too.
So
right?
Look, hey, I'll tell you what, guys. Look,
episode 12.
Well, watch this.
Using
the magic of Circle 270 Media. Let's really quickly listen to a little clip from that episode. Trace, thank you for coming out. Hey, guys, check this out. Here's a clip from that episode with Trace Ritter.
Here's my Mac and Dave story real quick. Is when I got into the drums in high school. I could tell you 50 stories about my drum playing days, but I do remember when I was buying the drums. It's the mid to late 80s. The more drums you have, it distracts from how bad you are, because you're surrounded by just a ton of drums, and people go, "He must be awesome."
Mm-hmm.
I bought chimes. Like I'm gonna play Sailing by Christopher Cross.
No, but Alex Van Halen had everything, and Neil Peart. Those two drummers had everything. They could use it all.
And people would get me confused with both of them. They're like, "You're a little bit of Neil, and you're a little bit of Alex." But yeah, I remember
Roto Toms.
Yeah, I bought Roto Toms. Yes. Oh yes. Yes. And I remember going to Mac and Dave's one day, and here he comes. In case he hears this, or a relative or whatever. I have no idea what his name is. I'm sure he's a very nice guy.
Was he the guy with gray hair and glasses that had it parted on the side?
There were seven of those. there were like seven of them every time I went. But and the one thing was, I would go and I would buy drums from this guy, from a person there at Mac and Dave's, and then I'd go in a few days later and he's over selling recliners. And I'd be like, does he really know what he's, and they're like, hey, sales is sales, kid. But I remember going, this guy, you know, mint green short sleeve dress shirt with a deep chocolate brown necktie, and
yummy.
Him going, I got something very almost godfatherish, where he's like, I got something I think you're going to like to see. I'm like, okay, what is it? And he takes me over. It's a 4-foot gong.
Gong?
Yeah. Like
did it have a stand and everything?
It had the stand. And of course, it was like, picture your favorite 80s movie where as soon as I see it, you hear the, Nanya! It was like music. I'm like, a female's voice came out of the gong going, take me home. I'll look so great behind your drum set.
Like, you will be the biggest thing in talk of the town if you buy this.
I'm going to be the guy who, any band in the area who says, we need a drummer. There's that one dude that's got the gong. What? Yeah, and I was like, oh, I think it was like $900, and I was like, that's a lot of money, $900, and I'm not.
You have a whole drum set back there for $900.
I've got so many ex-girlfriends and ex-wives who will attest to the fact of, they have said in their mind, you paid how much for what? That would have been at the top of any list. But you bought a gong.
You didn't buy it, though.
I did not.
Okay.
And Mac and Dave's went out of business 20 years later.
Because you didn't buy the gong.
And I don't know if they still had that gong. Might have still been there, but, you know.
I mean, what happens if it sits there forever and it's gone one day? Do they send it back to the company and say, we've had it for 10 years, we couldn't sell it?
I don't even know if it was new or used. And if it was used, that means somebody came in and went, I got this gong that I don't have any, I don't know what to do.
It was a display for a Chinese restaurant.
And as soon as Ming's went out of business, they went, what are we going to do with this gong?
Look what we got.